At the beginning of this psalm, God is described as Most High and Almighty. When Zophar, the Noamathite, comes to Job, he asks Job these questions from chapter 11, verses 7 and 8a. Can you discover the depths of God? The depths of some of God's attributes, like his wisdom, power, and holiness, are deeper than the Mariana Trench in the Western Pacific. The Mariana Trench is 36,201 feet below the surface. If Mount Everest was dropped into the trench, its peak would still be more than a mile underwater. And Mount Everest is 29,002 feet. Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They are as high as the heavens. What can you do? Our own Hubble Space Telescope has been able to photograph a cluster of galaxies 13 billion light years away. Is God there? Yes. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and he is everywhere. An almighty God is an all-powerful God. God commanded Joshua and his people to march around the city of Jericho, and on the seventh day to shout. Lo and behold, the walls came crashing down to the ground and lay flat. Jericho was now in the hands of God's people, just as he had promised. God is intimately associated with each of you and this entire congregation through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you are not associated with Christ, please heed this call from the Savior found in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My encouragement to you is to repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, as found in Acts 3:19. God, speaking through the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:9, says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. What is God's sanctuary like? It is a shelter. This shelter provides shade or a shadow from the heat by day. When there is a rainstorm, the same shelter provides refuge and protection as found in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6. And there will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. I think many of you are familiar with the shelters found in Onondaga Lake Park, buildings that provide not only protection from the midsummer heat, but from a powerful and sudden downpour of rain overhead. Do these same shelters provide you protection from a wind-driven rainstorm? No, probably not. But because the walls are only built partway up to your waist, allowing the wind and rain to come in, but God's shelter is complete and perfect. It surrounds you. No heat or storm penetrates. God's sanctuary can also be thought of as a refuge. In fact, Jesus is that very refuge. In Jeremiah, in chapter 16, verse 19, it says, O Lord, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge in the day of distress. A life-threatening fear and distress came into my life in the early morning hours of November 29th, 1978, when I began to breathe like a steam locomotive. When I got to the Veterans Hospital, the doctors told me that I was passing blood clots through my heart and into my lungs from a prior knee surgery. Before I entered surgery, I looked at the wall and said, Lord, I want to live. The Lord granted my request, and here I am 40 years later. The Lord stood by me, my wife, and two children in a very fast-paced refuge. God's sanctuary is like a fortress, providing deliverance from fear. When I visualize a fortress, I see a very high and imposing structure, vertical walls that are at least 100 feet in height, with a parapet at the top. Do you know what a parapet is? Well, it's the part of the wall that goes up over a short distance and back down again. And then it goes and then back up again, over and down. So the parapet is a place that protects the guard on duty and against any advancing arrows that might come up to the top of the wall. And it's a very imposing structure. It protects the people inside from a frontal attack. A guard or watchman walks along in back of this parapet. His responsibility is to watch out for an approaching enemy and to warn the inhabitants inside of danger. Occasionally, a guard will fall asleep. Then what happens? The enemy sees their opportunity and the walls are breached. They create an opening and move rapidly into the inside of the fortress, which is most vulnerable. But God's fortress is impregnable. You can't break through it to it and inside. No enemy comes in, and there is a watchman who is forever alert. Psalm 66, verse 7, he rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not rebellious exalt themselves. God's sanctuary is like the wings of a bird with pinions and feathers, sometimes called primaries. And I'll spread out my arms, and you can see my hands, and each of my fingers would be a feather. Those are called pinions. They're called primaries, and they provide refuge for eggs and nestlings. In Psalm 17, 8b, hide me in the shadow of thy wings. The wingspread on a female golden eagle found in the Middle East is from 82 to 92 inches long. The wings on a peregrine falcon enable it to dive 112 miles per hour. Wings on a ruby-throated hummingbird beat at 53 strokes per second. God's sanctuary is all-encompassing, like the wings of a bird in terms of its length and width. The feathers provide comfort and assurance. In fact, they act like window shutters, allowing breaths of fresh air to come in to what might be an otherwise stuffy refuge. God's sanctuary is like the faithfulness of a shield and bulwark. He provides a shield to hide you and extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one in Ephesians 6:16. In Psalm 48, verses 12 and 13, it says, walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. Now, a bulwark can be thought of as a fortified rampart or that part of a ship above the main deck. And in this case, I'm going to call it a bulkhead. That's a Marine or Navy term for a bulwark. And the bulwark, or accurately the bulkhead on the ocean liner, the Titanic, was enormous. Many thought that this ship was unsinkable, but its bulkhead broke between the third and fourth smokestack as it began to rapidly sink into the icy waters of the North Atlantic on April 15, 1912. It went to its watery grave 2.5 miles down. God's bulwark, or bulkhead, withstands enormous pressure from satanic enemies outside, even greater than the water pressure per square inch on the Titanic. Currently, the water pressure on the Titanic is 3 tons per square inch. but God's fortress, his bulwark, will and can withstand more than that kind of pressure. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16:18? And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. The result of being in God's sanctuary is to sing. We sing. Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2, I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations, I will make known my faith, thy faithfulness with my voice, or with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens, thou wilt establish thy faithfulness. A retired pastor by the name of Gordon Keddy wrote a summary of Psalm 91 titled Coming Home Safely for the Witness. In this article, he concludes with six comforts or promises of God for his saints. The number one is he promises us deliverance from the snare of the trapper, disease or pestilence, and the fear of so many things that can overwhelm us. We are rescued from things that we cannot see, the unforeseen dangers that lurk out there. A few years ago, I was walking on one of the trails in an Audubon sanctuary where they were mist-netting or trapping birds for banding. All of a sudden, I see a fine mesh in front of me, but it was too late. The forward momentum of my body walking down through the trail carried me right into the mist net. I'm caught. But fortunately, I was able to back out. But that's a mist net, the snare of the trapper. Birds can't see it, and neither could I. Psalm 107, verse 28. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress, or distresses. The second one is God promises exaltation and honor. Psalm 91, 14b, I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. That's where each of you are going to be. You're going to be set securely on high. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. You are unique and special, each one of you. In other words, you are the apple of God's eye, as related in Zechariah 2:8b. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Being the apple of his eye means that God's people are most cherished. God's care for his people has not diminished with time. He holds his children very close, and that's each and every one of you, including myself. Answers to prayer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul asked the Lord three times to remove the thorn in his flesh. And we don't know what that thorn was, but it was there to prevent him from exalting himself. God's answer was, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. God's presence with his beloved people. The Lord was with Gail and I as we traveled from central New York to Nenana, Alaska, via the Alaska Highway in 1972. Not only was it Gail and I, but Chris was 2 months old. And here we were driving down the side of the mountain in the Yukon Territory with no guardrails on my left. It made me cringe when I saw that. And it had been raining. It was not a paved highway either. We all sighed a relief when I got to the bottom. Jesus took care of us down that mountain. Psalm 42, verse 5b, hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. I praise him for the help of his presence that day, certainly. A satisfying life. Psalm 91:16a, with a long life I will satisfy him. Despite my often complaining heart that is filled with ingratitude, and Lord forgive me, because I do that very much, I honestly cannot complain about a thing. There is nothing I can complain about, nothing. I am truly very thankful for what the Lord has done for myself and my family. Last summer, I walked with my son through the shallows of a river in a canyon called the Narrows in Zion National Park. Except for my knee joints, the muscles in my legs were not sore. I was very thankful. Chris and I were very thankful not to have been washed away by a flash flood, too. Of course, they warn you ahead of time. There's a sign next to the river that says it's all right to go. So we relied upon that, too. But flash floods can occur very quickly. Psalm 145:16, thou dost open thy hand and dost satisfy the desire of every living thing. A realized salvation. From 91:16b, and let him behold my salvation. In Luke 2:25-32, we hear these words from God. And I'm going to read those words from Luke, but they touch my heart. It's an elderly gentleman. Here we are. Here is Luke chapter 2, verse 25, beginning with 25. And going down to verse 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, thou hast let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon was holding him. Simeon was seeing him. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, in his arms. And he knew right away who this was. And he was alive to see it. And God had granted him that request. So it's a magnificent moment there near the temple in Jerusalem. He sees, he realizes his salvation. Here it is. Simeon is seeing it and he's realizing it all in one. And that's a magnificent thing to happen to a man, and both to Joseph and Mary. And let him behold my salvation. Simeon was not only seeing his salvation, but he was holding the very child, Jesus, who would free him and his people, both Jews and Gentiles, from their sins. What is to be our response to God's protection? Well, first of all, know his name. Recognize that God, for who he is, Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am in Hebrew is closely related to God's personal name, Jehovah or Yahweh. The Lord is sovereign and he makes a demand on our obedience. His holiness and loving kindness are known in the experience of the nation and in the individual. Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, writes in chapter 3, verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. That's it, Christ, only him. The author of Psalm 91, who may have been Moses, recognizes that knowing Christ results in security. Job acknowledges this in chapter 24 and 23, verse 23. He provides them with security, and they are supported, and his eyes are on their ways. The second response for you is to love the Lord thy God. A lawyer of the Pharisees asked Jesus this question in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Our next response is to pray. Do you ask in the name of the Lord Jesus? Matthew 7:7, our Lord says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. God has promised he will answer you. The fourth response is to abide. Abide in me from John 15:4, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Our fifth and final response is to dwell and live or live in the shelter of the Most High forever. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The prophet Isaiah teaches in chapter 35, verse 4, say to those with an anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Thank you.